Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow starts now.
Well, allegedly, here we are. We all are here with the home edition of Up North News for a Wednesday, October 19th. I normally say it's a beautiful day from our studios on Lake Wissota. It's even more beautiful because right here in my kitchen, at my kitchen table, so apologies for any kind of a little echo because we're not in the home office. Let me go over to their window in the Zoom for a second. It's Kristen and it's Kirk.
You have your computer like 6 inches closer to you, so you look like an imposing god of thunder.
If I move
like
it,
your two minions who are here to like, okay, Pat, you're right. You're so right about everything.
If I move it much further back, I won't be able to read the news. Well, for those folks who didn't hear earlier, the three of us have been on the radio together for a long time now. But for COVID and everything else, we have never met the three of us in person until last night. Mm-hmm. And they were kind enough to come out here to beautiful Lake Wissota. And so here we are. We spent last night solving all the problems of the world, as we often do with friends near the fireplace. And as so often happens, the next morning, we have forgotten everything. We thought we'd solved all the problems. They're gone again. So we will just have to gather again, maybe do an evening version of the show.
Pat, it's not because we forgot all of the things we were trying to solve. It's because you poured us one too many old fashions last night.
I did not recall putting a gun to anybody's head. So consequently, you are welcome for enjoying my hospitality. This is what we do here. And as he lifts his coffee mug of Drink Wisconsinably, which on the other side says, shh, this isn't coffee.
Pat, you know, we started this thing. We're like, we're not going to do a show where we're not going to be drinking beer during our little thing.
Like we did on Wednesday nights. Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is earlier in the morning, like way early.
That was, though, my understanding when I joined, that there would be beer.
I know. And now we're getting the mornings. It's a little bit different now.
Well, and I'm told that you guys are so mellow in the morning, you need to get just a smidge closer to the microphone, which will make you look even like larger and more imposing. There you go.
Okay.
Not to that point. So, folks, this is normally the part where I tell you some of the headlines in the news, a little bit about the weather, what happened in sports last night. You already understand why I have none of that for you at the moment. We're going to be talking amongst ourselves for the next 3 hours, what got us involved in following news the way we did, our political paths. They're going to just giggle over there like kids in the back row of the classroom thinking that you can't hear them or see them on the live feed. But there's...
Kirk leaked all over his pants.
You leaked on me. Was it me?
No,
you're the one with the cup right over my pants.
I would like the record to show that the coffee mugs here at Casa de Kreitlow aren't cracked. They don't leak. So somebody spilled is what they're trying to say. So the NBA season is getting underway with the Bucks starting tomorrow, which is why we were so happy to talk to Pat McBride yesterday. And, you know, Kristen, reclaiming my thought here. And talking to Pat in time for the Bucks season was just a real treat. And I would really like to have him on more to get some of his, you know, his... We talked a lot about life, but he's got basketball stories and other sports stories to share like crazy. And you guys talked about, you know, one of his dreams was to follow in your footsteps and wear the big mascot uniform.
Yeah, he has done some incredible things in his life. It's almost surreal to listen to his stories and think he has met all of these, especially baseball, because he was the clubby in the visiting clubhouse for the Brewers. So all of the visiting teams that came in, Hank Aaron and Willie Mays, and I mean, you name any legendary baseball player, and he's had some sort of an interaction with them. But his dream is to be Bucky Badger.
In much the same way that Kristen was Goldie Gopher. For multiple years, which we have mentioned once or twice on the radio show. We only said we're going to get into it more. Well, kids, we got 3 hours here. So there will be stories about wearing a big, wet, heavy, sweaty, furry costume.
When we talked about this morning over egg bake, I didn't think we were actually going to be talking about this on the radio.
So, Pat, it was like I've only done an hour show with you ever. Like, now we have 3 hours. Like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about how Kristen was a mascot for, you know, all her 12 years in college.
You might not know this, my friend, but you got some stories too. So we're going to need like a Dr. Phil or something by the time this is all done. But I think that that's a good thing to have these kinds of conversations about what caused us to want to be more involved in, you know, in civics and trying to help our neighbors, what have you. And so if finally, instead of just the usual, you know, talking about the news, we get a little bit more up close and personal, as Jim McKay used to say back in the day. I think that's a fine thing. And the whole time that we're doing it, we're checking out the foliage out on Lake Wissota. We're gazing out over the backyard and knowing full well my pontoon isn't there anymore for me to just jump on and ride away if this show goes south quick. So I'm stuck here. So are you. We'll be back. You're up north. Really. Folks, welcome back, and it certainly does. It does. Feels like the first time we've ever done this because it is, Aaron. So good work out of you. Aaron, why don't you say good morning real quick, because then we might have our headphones off from time to time because of the, you know, the delay here. So how are you this morning?
Doing pretty well. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be a part of this special event, even though I am quite a ways away in Madison.
I was going to say, the first ever home edition, everybody's in my home but you, but we always need to have somebody back at the mothership. So, you know, and you're kind of one of the newest hires. So in time, you too will be part of the Lake Wissota Brigade. But for now, we're going to take our headphones off and talk amongst ourselves. So if you need us, Aaron, get in the chat or throw your camera on, okay?
Sounds
Otherwise,
good.
I'm just going to try to land the plane at 8:29 like the polished professional I pretend to be.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
And if we disappear, we'll be in the hot tub because it's right there.
That's what Pat threatened to do last night after the third old fashioned.
I really don't think we need to count, you know, how these things work. We should tell you that part of the reason we did find an excuse to finally get together. We talked about it a lot. We just couldn't make things happen. But there is actually a national radio host who's coming through town and wanted to tape interviews with several folks. And I mean, Kirk and Kristen immediately came to mind for, you know, all the right reasons. And we thought, well, as long as they're coming to town to be interviewed by Rick Smith, you know, why don't we try to get the whole gang together? So initially, the plan was to do the show live from the Eau Claire Labor Temple. And, you know, because that's where, you know, Rick wants to come and talk to folks later. But this was enough of a challenge doing it at the kitchen table, especially while Kristen's in her camera doing a little bunny foo-foo or
a
whatever.
In your backyard.
Do you not have squirrels in Green Bay? Or
no, but you're just talking, and I'm listening, and I'm watching the squirrels.
Well, the whole point is this is not designed to be a monologue. Y'all can jump in anytime about coming out. You said yes. You said you wanted to come out here. You didn't mind talking to Rick Smith because,
no.
But his show, which is not on a lot of these stations, but he knows about us. The folks at the radio station know about him. We're hoping to work together a bit more. Rick is a former Teamster trucker. And after the 2004 election, he basically had heard enough and had enough and started a radio show, which has grown to a couple of dozen stations around the country. We're going to talk to him later today. We'll tape an interview and then we'll play that back sometime in the next couple of days here. But guys, coincidentally, whenever I tell my story about political involvement, I was anchoring the news here in Eau Claire, happy guy, could have kept doing it for forever. It was also the 2004 campaign, the one where John Kerry, you know, got swift voted. And I said, I can't just sit here and play this, you know, both sides-ism game. Like, you know, nobody's doing anything underhanded. Nobody's cheating. Nobody's lying. So I'm looking forward to talking to Rick about that, that we both kind of had the same motivation. For now, for other people of this era, it's something else got them involved. It could have been 2008 when they saw Barack Obama get elected and that inspired them. It could have been 2011, Act 10, and, you know, everything that the Republicans have done since. And how many people have we talked to now, including on the show from guests that you've brought, Kristen, their catalyst was 2016.
Yeah.
And Trump getting elected and going, that's it. I can't stand the sidelines anymore.
Oh, yeah. Especially in women's health. I remember waking up that morning and having to go to the office and take care of my patients in Green Bay, which is a fairly conservative town. And we were all the doctors and the nurses and the receptionists, everybody, we were just in a daze. Like, we knew this was going to be bad. And it's been really heartening to see how people have stepped up. But there's so much more room for voices like Rick Smith. And, you know, it reminds me of the farmer that we talked with yesterday, your buddy.
Hans Breitenmoser.
Oh, nice.
Man, it was so great to hear him talk about his experience as a farmer, having seen so many changes in his profession, having to adapt and learn how to not only survive as a farmer as things change, but within the greater world as things have been taken away progressively. I mean, the extension is under attack. Health insurance is hard to get. So many barriers, yet he is this brilliant voice that's not afraid to speak up from a community that typically doesn't speak up.
Yeah, Hans was like, you know, he just doesn't like, I mean, we're cut from a similar cloth. And I think, like, we're all cut from a similar cloth. We grew up in a normal kind of state where, you know, we got a good public education. And we expected things to be fair because I wasn't given a raw deal up until very recently with the government. I don't think anybody was to a certain degree. And neither was Hans. And so when Hans said, wait a second, we're not represented anymore, because the gerrymandering thing is what really got him motivated. And that was 10 years ago. And he just kept on introducing these local referenda all over, you know, rural counties in Wisconsin. Every single one of these counties were like, you're right, we should have fair elections, you know. And so he became this, you know, this figure. He was going to be on the back of my Fair Maps can, but we couldn't. His head was too big. We couldn't Fair Maps my beer. So he's been a friend, and he's come and give speeches in Minocqua, because he's only about, you know, an hour south. And you know, in my own story is, I'm a political guy, but I was going to give it all up because I ran for Congress like Pat did. And I was like, I hate the fundraising and I never want to do this again. I think that politics is just like, it's a cesspool and we have to beg for money. And so I never was going to do it again. I was happy to run my brew pub and have great live music and have good beer and kind of just, you know, live a normal life in the North Woods. And then all of a sudden, COVID comes along and my business is shut down. I'm facing bankruptcy, and every single policy decision that Trump made my industry worse. You know, it prolonged the agony of us not being able to make money, us not being able to get back to reality.
Yeah, and the agony of people. It literally prolonged the agony. Something that, again, it motivated a lot of us. I'm still stunned at the way it motivated other people who are still litigating COVID safeguards. I mean, people are running, going, "Oh, we're gonna end that kind of you know, big government, whatever." And I'm like, you are alive because of, you know, the shutdowns and people keeping people isolated. I mean, Kristen, we were talking about this last night. As a doctor, you know, you and other doctors, we didn't know everything. We didn't know what we even knew about COVID. And here people are going, oh, just let us mingle. You know, let us vote in April. That spring election of 2020 was a big motivator to you.
Yeah, that was, I had been involved in advocacy before that, but it was that spring election when Governor Evers said, we don't know enough to be able to send people to the polls in April. COVID really just became a thing here, as a reminder, in March of 2020. And then we had that really important primary in April. And in Green Bay, typically we have, I think, 34 polling sites. We only had 2 polling sites open because we couldn't get people to work at the polling sites and people didn't want to come out and vote, they thought. But when the Republican legislature forced us to have that vote and the state Supreme Court doubled down on that and people had to get out, they showed up. And they showed up in a very, very long line at Green Bay East High School. And seeing that line of people who were committed to our democracy and doing the only thing they could at that moment, that was the thing that really called me to run for office.
So yeah, there's all manner of what gets people involved in running. And so when we were talking, or talking with Rick Smith's producer about 2004, it just kind of reminded me that we have all these different motivators that call people to action or have people get involved in one degree or another with what they're doing. So we're going to explore that, not just politically, not just the negative things that inspired us, but some of the positive stories as well and the positive motivators that got us to do what we do. And I'm going to start with one of the more unusual ones for Kirk. And while I know that the full answer is a bit more personal and emotional for him, I really want to get more to the recreational side. Whenever Kirk gets a chance to get away, you can usually bet he is out surfing. And I just want to know, for a boy from Stevens Point, how does a boy from Stevens Point end up still in your advanced age, loving surf? What was your first exposure to this?
So the first exposure was with, weirdly, I was in the Harvard Crocodillos is an a cappella singing group, at Harvard University, and we toured around the world every summer. So the first time I ever surfed was in Hawaii on our first stop of this tour. And I fell so badly that the surfboard cut the bottom of my chin and I had to go to the emergency room in Hawaii. That was my first time surfing. But I fell in love with it because I was like, this beat me this time. I got to beat it the next time. And so every vacation that I went on since, if it's anywhere near an ocean, I've tried to surf. But I really got into it during COVID because Costa Rica lives their entire lives outside. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin, because we'd been thrown to the Wild West and there was no up north, it was a disaster up in Minocqua, just like it was probably a disaster here. Like nobody was wearing masks. And it was, I just felt like feel like I'm responsible to get COVID along with everybody else if nobody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we have no laws. So I was like, I'm just gonna run my business from Costa Rica. So I spent about 3 months there and grew the brewery there, but I also was able to surf every day.
Mm-hmm. No, that's it's a nice problem to have.
People say that's privilege, but no, honestly, I was like, if I mean, yes, a lot of people couldn't leave. They don't have the means to leave a terrible, Florida and Wisconsin were not too far apart, And so, I do feel badly for people who couldn't leave, but I was like, I don't want to get sick. And our America is not doing what we're supposed to be doing to protect people right now.
And that's how a boy from Stevens Point turned into such a little surfer. But you mentioned getting knocked down. And I mean, this is, it's not the world's safest activity. And not just talking about a scene from Jaws or something like that. There are people that, they'll break their neck or break a leg or whatever. And
I've been held down underwater for more than a minute. And I thought it was the end of me for sure. I actually I got hit and I got knocked down and I didn't know which way was up. Mm-hmm. And I was right out of breath and I was like, great, I'm up. And then all of a sudden another big one came down and I was like, this is too much for me. This little kid from Stevens Point is not able to handle 2 big waves in a row, not knowing, how to figure out the sunlight when you're underwater. So yeah, it's been a little, some scary sometimes.
The funny thing is that is not the first time he's told a story that began, I was held underwater for over a minute.
Say something like that explains
well, but that gets us in the less than a minute we have remaining. We get a text from him. He was late to join us last night, saying that, you know, the first text said, going to be late, an unruly passenger is being thrown off the plane. And Chris and I both thought the same thing, but I'm the one who sent back the note saying, you didn't say the unruly passenger wasn't you. He then made clear that no, it was somebody else who needed to go, but he eventually got on the plane. He made it here. We stayed up far past our bedtime, but you know, look at you guys, half hour down, 2.5 hours to go. You're making it look easy.
We're doing this. It's working.
We're doing it.
Just the way we planned it. We'll be back. We're going to talk to Kristen next about a new medical development in the news regarding women's health here up north.
Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Let me tell you something about power. Power is when your producer can just wave his arms and you shut up. Because these two are going on and on and on about something.
Yeah, if you're on the Facebook right now, you're getting crazy interaction that you never really get.
You are learning way too much about Kirk Bankstead, Kristen Lyerly, and the people that they know. I'm just over here being a quiet little church mouse. But welcome back to Up North News for Wednesday, October 19th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are live in our Lake Wissota kitchen. Not the studio, which would be the home office, but the kitchen.
By the way, you guys, like in the viewing audience or radio, don't know how well Pat Kreitlow lives. Like, you think these radio guys are just like in like a basement somewhere every day. Like, the view we have of Lake Wissota and the leaves changing is pretty only matched maybe as the view in Wisconsin, in Minocqua might be, but it's frigging, this is Wisconsin right here. This is up north. We are up north, truly.
Yeah, my advice would be stay in school, kids. It's all good.
So. I'm kind of getting distracted by the lake. I feel like I'm just staring wistfully.
Well, see, that's why I normally do sit in the home office overlooking a cornfield. It doesn't do nearly as much as the lake does.
You could always turn towards Pat and look at the other vestige of beauty other than nature that we have here.
Hey!
You talk about, you know, things that are curling up, dying, and, you know, ready to fall down.
Hey,
what's up,
Pat,
Aaron?
Can you turn your mic back up a little bit?
I'd be happy to. Sorry about that. Let's see. I'm fixing on the main gain there. Is that a little bit better?
Would it be helpful if he sang into the mic so you could check his volume?
But also,
no, let me turn up my channel instead. There. Maybe that. I hope that's better for you.
It still seems way quieter than before.
Oh, I don't remember doing anything different, so I'm just going to turn this up a little bit more and make sure that I didn't turn the mic off. I feel like the movie Elf, and I'm singing.
It feels like I'm only getting from their mic or something.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's see. Don't recall doing anything different here, so.
Sure.
I guess you two will just have to fill while I...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we can fill. Sing something. This is suddenly uncomfortable.
Let me set
this up from afar. But Kristen Lyerly was on NBC Nightly News last night, and not for the usual things about abortion care, women's health rights, but an actual news story about a certain medication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell a bit more about why you got the call?
Well, I think I got the call because I had tweeted about this, and because I've had a few viral tweets, I think some reporters are watching. Mm. But what's happening is that, first of all, it's all tied together with women's health, whether we're talking about abortion or this in particular is prevention of preterm birth. There's one medication that's FDA approved to prevent preterm birth.
And before you do that, before I plug back in, I hold in my hand the reason why you can't hear me. Apparently it came unplugged. I'm looking at it right in front of me.
That would do it.
We knew he was unhinged, but he's also... All right.
I really hope that's a lot better now.
Yep, now you got to turn way down.
I really hope that's a lot better now. Are we getting there?
Down a little more yet.
Down a little. See, he's just trying to shut me out. He's trying to get me off my own show. So
and now
bring it down a little bit more.
Can
see if that's any better.
Just talk a little bit too.
And I will. And again, I'm singing. I've never actually sung in public before. Well, one time, but there was no video, and there's no proof of it.
Next time.
But next time you hear Frank Sinatra's "You Make Me Feel So Young," you'll think of me. How are we feeling, Aaron?
Can Kristen say something?
Yeah, Kristen, what have you sung for karaoke?
"You Make Me Feel So Young." That's all I know of that song. Kirk?
"You Make Me Feel Like Spring Has Sprung."
We're going to down just a little bit more.
Good morning with Dan Kreitlow.
Tell us more, Aaron.
You can turn yourself down just a touch, then we should be pretty good.
All right, there we go. Turn down a bit more. So I'm gonna hope for the best.
When we unplugged his mic,
it was part of our dastardly plan
to take over the show.
We poured coffee on his mixing machine.
All right, let's get back to the medical news here, Aaron. Assuming that everything is okay, or do I need to make any final adjustments here?
There is also now a bit of an echo that there wasn't before.
Let's take my headphones off, which were rather loud. And let's give that a go. You're gonna have to nod or shake your head. Is that any better? It is not any better. Now we've got a little echo issue here. Goodness gracious. We're gonna have to work on this. So while we work on it, I'm gonna turn my mic way down while Kristen's talking and resuming her story. Hopefully that takes care of part of the echo. So Kristen, again, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but again, very important story that women need to know about.
Yeah, so essentially the FDA right now is trying to determine whether this one medication that we have to prevent preterm birth is actually effective. And as with so many things in medicine, the data is a little difficult to interpret. It's confusing. It's not entirely clear, but it does seem that this medication helps some women, particularly high-risk women in vulnerable communities. So my hope is that they keep it on the market. It's very safe, that they keep it on the market and we're able to continue to offer this to women who need it while we continue to explore whether it truly is effective. Just because, you know, I mean, it's safe. Why wouldn't we have this available? It's been available. People have been using it. Pat, you use this medication, not you personally, but I mean, this has made a difference in your family.
If you say so. I wasn't part of that conversation.
Oh, that's right.
you were probably talking to the person who is an obstetrician gynecologist in the family. So
poor Pat last night when we showed up, Sherry and I had a very long conversation and Pat just sat here by himself drinking old fashions.
Hey, Aaron, I see you're back in. Are we still pretty echoey with my mic back up?
There is still echo. It's not as bad, but it is present.
We're just going to have to keep playing along with that. What's that, Kurt?
You want to just use this one for all three of us?
We could be like Diana Ross and the Supremes. Come on.
This is live radio. Ain't nothing like it. Turn it in.
All right. Come on in. So anyways, Kristen, not only tweeted about this, but she's way more famous than just doing Pat's show in Pat's kitchen, which that does give one lots of fame, but don't get me wrong. But Kristen, weren't you on national news talking about this yesterday?
Yeah.
What happened? What? So they found your tweet out, and what's going on like nationally? Is there like an issue here?
Well, I mean, not to brag, Kirk, but it's not my first rodeo with national news.
I know. It's every time I tell you, I was telling Pat, every time we get a new like bright star in this show, soon she just blows up so much that we lose her into the world of fame and fortune. So
you guys are like a machine for producing amazing people.
No, I believe compost pile is what we were referencing there.
No, this is something that is happening in Washington, D.C., this whole FDA trial trying to figure this piece out. But I speak not uncommonly on behalf of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists when they need somebody to talk about, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just a doctor, but most doctors aren't really comfortable talking to the media. We're not media trained.
Right.
Yeah, And even though it's not that hard, I mean, it's when you talk to the media, it's like talking to your patients. You're explaining mm-hmm. things. Reporters don't know what we do.
Yeah.
So we're really just explaining things.
But and like some of your patients, sometimes the reporters, you're like, that's not what I told that person. Why is that person not doing? We talked about this. And, you know.
Well, you learn, though, who the reporters are that you can trust, and you know the outlets that they are coming from. So I think with time, you build those relationships, and that makes a difference. And that actually translates to the greater world of news and especially politics. When you have reporters who have been around, they've got historical memory, they know the players, they understand the game, they can put everything into context, that makes a huge difference. And I think that's one of the things that we really miss in our news coverage these days. Mm-hmm. A lot of reporters are, because they are inexperienced, they're trying to figure it out as they go, and they don't have the experience to be able to really dig in.
Well, and they're afraid of, you know, basically getting anybody mad at them, especially in political circles. And so they engage too much in, you know, in what I call stenography, and it makes me crazy. But then other times too many reporters fail to grasp the significance of something that is either blatantly untrue or outrageous, and just treat it like another news story. And I know that I've carped on this for 2 days now, but I'm going to do it for a third day, because we put up the story at upnorthnewswi.com, and we put up four different videos of wildly outrageous things that Tim Michaels said in his debate with Governor Evers. And yet I didn't see any place else coverage that said the Republican nominee for governor it doesn't want red flag laws because, you know, disgruntled women might be making up a story. That's offensive. We'd already talked with Kristen yesterday about saying Governor Evers favors doctors being able to murder babies after they're born. Again,
like, I don't even have words.
We don't even have words. But that's it. Nobody else had words. There was no other coverage of that. There was extremely limited coverage of him saying Wisconsin's full of a bunch of lazy people, even though we have historically low unemployment in the state. And about climate change, he said climate change, there's been a lot of discussion, but I don't think we can say that it was, you know, man's activity over the past 100 years. Yeah, we literally can. That's what the scientists do. And yet these types of things didn't get written up. It was a very, you know, dry, like, well, he said this and he said that, and they disagreed on the budget, and they disagree. Well, of course they're going to disagree, but get into what they said, because then you would be able to say, here's what Evers said. Yep. Here's what he proposed. Mm-hmm. Here's what Evers said. Yep. Here's what he did. And then do the same to Michaels. And yes, the things from Michaels will come off. You know, people go, oh, you're so biased. Well, he's the one that said ridiculous things. So, of course, when you read the article, it's not going to make him look good. But there's a reason why. And it's not the reporter's bias. So let's talk about the both sidism that is at the highest levels. That when you're on national news, I feel finally some of these national news outlets, you know, are learning. They've learned from like the Trump years, where they just can't just report what's going on both sides if one is way off. But Wisconsin, I don't think, has even learned that yet. Even, you know, the editorial section, maybe the Milwaukee Journal and the Wisconsin State Journal, both went towards Mandela and I believe Evers. But but the thing that recently, something that happened that just blew my mind was Dan Bice, who I think lives, he's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel political, you know, analyst. I think he lives to just have controversy, to stir controversy, because there's this news thing that came out that said, like, 5 years ago, when Mandela Barnes was like an assemblyman, you know, he talked to a news outlet that ultimately was found to be funded like by Russians. And this was when he was an assemblyman, you know, and you know that was fed to Dan Bice by some Oppo research team from Johnson. And so Dan Bice reports this as like some big groundbreaking story, some like, oh my gosh, Mandela's working with the Russians. Like, they obviously fed that. This was before Mandela was anything. And they fed that to him, and Bice took it hook, line, and sinker, when we have a U.S. senator who has been warned by the FBI that he's trumpeting Russian misinformation. And he's like being a tool for Russians. He went to Russia on July 4th to talk about who knows what. Mm-hmm. And so this was an obvious plant to a reporter who wanted to be the first one to crack it. But the damage that he, now it's being used as an attack ad against Mandela. So the damage that he, and then Molly Beck, who's the other, I think, less bad political reporter.
I'm not going to say less bad. I'm going to let you continue the rant after the break, because while they're watching the lake, they're not watching the clock here, folks. One of us is, and one of us is going to toss the break on time, regather our thoughts, probably fix this so we're all in one camera instead of seeing Kristen in two or three different frames. You're up north. Now, Aaron already knows that we've had kind of a stressful first hour here getting things all set up. So for him to play stuff off my favorite album, Happy Anniversary, Charlie Brown and Joe Williams singing Little Birdie. Aaron, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. We're back live because there's no way we'd tape something that looked like this. But
we, look at this is we should have started like this, Pat.
I know.
This is fun now. We're good to go now.
You can't really call it a reunion if we've never met before. I was going to say this is the reunion of the gang, but this is our introduction.
We've all met individually.
We've all been in Brady Bunch, squares on screen.
You had never met in person?
Uh-uh.
Kristen and I have met. We've hung out.
And you and I did like two shows together live. In one of those, he knocked the radio station off the air.
Shocking.
He got so worked up about a point that he was making, much like the one I cut him off from before the break. He got so animated, he kicks out his feet, and there's a computer down there.
Oh yeah.
And who puts a computer down below the desk that lets you, you know, if you hit the power button, knocks the station off the air? That's how it works. So that's part of the reason why we're here, is we keep the computer far away from Kirk.
We were doing it in Madison at the original Devil radio station. Yes. And I believe Evan was the producer that day. And all of a sudden he was looking around like, what the heck just happened? And nobody's voice is anywhere. And we lose the Zoom. Like, it was like the whole master switch to the entire radio station. And it was like, I was just like swinging my legs, and I got a little bit like, you know, I got like, okay, yeah, I got to make this point. Boom. Knocked the entire radio station off.
He did. That's the whole magic of live radio. And it's the whole reason why folks like you tune in, and we appreciate that very much. Yeah, we want to make sure that we see all the latest and greatest messages from Aaron when they come up there. And Aaron, I see you putting your headphones on, so I guess I better put mine on here for a second and see what the heck is going on. Let's check in again live with Aaron Zomers.
I was just going to say that it seems like a pretty bad place to put the master power to the whole radio station, pretty much in a place where anybody could pick it.
That's good.
Oh, you think so too?
Aaron's chiming in on the master power thing. That's good. Well, thank you, Aaron. Yeah, it's true. Well, if you're there, let's move that computer.
Hopefully it is. I'll have to check in the studio.
Look it. We've almost made it through the first hour.
Almost without a moment of silence where I said, I really don't know how to follow up on this. And talk about where we're going, because where it was going to go previously. But no, you were making a point about both sidesism in the media, and mm-hmm. you were not thrilled with the article about Mandela Barnes giving interviews.
Yeah.
And I think you were going to bring that plane in for a landing before we ran into the break. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I was going to bring the plane in for landing, because that had been the second like groundbreaking news mm-hmm. that Mr. Bice had used against Mandela in 2 weeks. The first one was that, you know, apparently he had some tweets, you know, like 5 years ago that were pretty, you know, mad. Like right when I think George Floyd's, you know, was, you know, the police had like, you know, stuck their leg on his neck. And so like, of course, you know, the entire black community was infuriated when they saw this video. And so obviously Mandela is going to be tweeting some pretty mad things. And so Bice was probably fed again this opposition, these tweets from 5 years ago. And he felt he needed to like get the world on, set the world on fire with stuff that was out of context. And because of that, it feeds into this both sidism that we have a senator, Ron Johnson, who like was part of the insurrection against the United States. Like the he said we should drink Listerine in order to like solve COVID. Like,
well, it like, does fight germs.
There's no balance there. And unfortunately, and Wisconsin, Milwaukee Journal is like the best paper we have, but talk about Northern Wisconsin. You know, I'm going on too much of a rant, but everyone is just out of college. They're just taking the stenographer. They're just taking people's statements and not checking them in their minds to see whether or not they're like ridiculous or not. And they're just like rebroadcasting.
I would venture to say that things are getting a bit better. And I think that COVID did that for a lot of media. First off, that there'd be these denialists or people putting out, you know, false information and knowing lives are at stake, that you're a little more apt to have a story tag out with, you know, but there is no evidence backing up what Senator Johnson is claiming or something like that. But, you know, early on, it was really frustrating. It had to be even more so for docs to go, why are you letting this person cast doubt on vaccine on what is arguably the most amazing scientific development of our lifetime, was cranking out that vaccine in such short order.
Yeah, that was really a miracle. Mm-hmm. But for my colleagues, we were so busy doing our real jobs that we didn't have time to engage. And we also come from a scientific background where we have been trained to trust the science and trust the evidence. Mm-hmm. And we just believe that other people will believe it like we do. So when Ron Johnson comes out and says Listerine or Trump is talking about drinking bleach, we're like, that's crazy. But, you know, like, what do you do as a doctor? You know that's not true, but you're busy taking care of your patients and you don't have that platform to be able to get out there and say that's not right.
But we are a very media-centric world. Everybody loves television, loves social media. You know, I know through my spouse, you know through your girlfriend who's a physician as well, that you have this training in science, and yet, you know, a patient will come in and say, well, I saw this on TV, or I saw this on the internet, and this is what I want. And television and media overall, it's like this great leveler, like everything is on the same plane, but it's really not. You know, some things are actually backed by science and some things are quackery.
Things really changed when pharmaceutical companies could start marketing directly to patients, and they could put commercials on TV, and then people would come in requesting all these fancy expensive drugs that we were not able to offer them, because we always have to start with, I mean, you've got insurance coverage and your insurance coverage is not going to go to that super fancy expensive drug. So we've got to start with certain things, and patients don't like that. They want what they are requesting because it looks so effective on TV. The marketing is so compelling.
And not even just the drugs that are advertised on TV, but all of the supplements which are tagged out in those commercials, like, you know, this is not endorsed by the Food and Drug Administration to cure disease or anything. And yet people take them all the time anyway. And I always like my wife's response when they ask about taking this supplement or that supplement. And she says, well, what it'll actually give you is expensive urine.
Yeah, it's true. You don't even know what's in those supplements. They're not regulated. So from batch to batch, they could have entirely different components. Mm-hmm. And they're not proven. They haven't been studied. I mean, menopause is a great example. And we can't get into this right now because we don't have enough time. But there are so many things that are effective. But people want to choose a natural alternative, which is often a supplement, which is often containing something we don't know.
Mystery. It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. We'll continue this conversation for another hour. Then Kirk actually prepared the 10 o'clock hour for us with like guests and everything. So
and a Top Gun theme song.
Come on, Pat. And he may sing for us again, too. We'll be back. You're up north.